worshiping you, God, in the way that we need to worship you. We move it aside right now. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. And God, we release right now a resounding praise and a resounding worship. God, you declare, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God, there's power in the praise of your people. There's power in the worship of your people. God, you're not coming looking for people with money. God, you're not coming looking for people with a reputation. But God, you said that I'm coming looking for worshipers. For they that worship you shall worship you in spirit and in truth. So God, release right now fresh rain from on heaven. God, release right now a rhema word. Release right now a powerful ground shaking anointing. Release right now change in the atmosphere. Release right now transformation and turnaround in the atmosphere. Change minds right now. God, stir up in us divine ability. You said that I give you the ability to do exceeding and abundantly above anything that you could ask or think. So God calls us to believe you now. I call faith from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God calls us to believe you now. Call us to believe you for victory right now. Call us to believe you for overcoming right now. God, you said you called us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So we bind up sickness right now. God, we bind up poverty right now. We bind up disease right now. God, we bind up lack right now. God, everything that has breath, you have commanded to praise ye the Lord. So God, we bless you right now in the sanctuary. We bless you right now with the clapping of our hand. We bless you right now with the stomping of our feet. We bless you right now, God, with our mind that is set on you. So God, we praise you. We're setting up an atmosphere right now. God, you want to do something today. So God, we just need to praise you just a little bit longer. God, you want to move in a way like never before. So God, we want to praise you in a way like we've never praised, like ever before. God, we're not looking to our left or to our right hand, but our eyes are set on you. God, we look into the hills from where cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. So God, we're just going to stay here for just a little longer, because you want to do something in this atmosphere. You want to do something in this atmosphere. At this time, at this very moment, you have declared freedom. At this time, at this very moment, you have released liberty. At this time, at this very moment, the destruction of everything that the enemy is trying to do. You said, I release an anointing that will destroy the yoke. So God, we bless you right now. Rain on us. God, we bless you right now. Shower down on us. God, we bless you right now. Break through in this atmosphere. Is there anything that's too hard for God? Is there anything that's impossible for God? The answer is no. So we bless you. We bless you. You're doing the impossible right now. We bless you. You're doing the impossible in our families right now. We bless you. You're doing the impossible in our spirits right now. We bless you. You're doing the impossible in our souls right now. We bless you. You're fixing things in our bodies the doctor said couldn't be fixed, so we bless you. We bless you right now. The things that have been in our generations forever, God, you're changing and rearranging and altering. So God, we bless you right now. We bless you right now for changing our positioning in our community, changing our positioning in our family, changing our positioning in the world, but changing our position in the heavens. You said that we are now seated in heavenly places.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord.
You said right now.
Yes.
Not at the resurrection, right now. Not when it gets better than it is right now. You said I'm seated in the heavenly places right now. I ought to praise like somebody that's been able to begin to be seated by God. That do you understand what it's like to have God say, sit right here till I make your enemies your footstool? We're about to get into this word in just a moment. We're about to get into this word in just a moment. But I just believe. I got so much stuff going on.
Come on.
So many things happening. How can I shout glory? Well, God, you're awesome and you're mighty, so I guess I can shout glory. God said, no, not because of that, not because of that, because that's built into this praise. Not because I'm awesome and I'm mighty, but it's built into this praise. can I shout glory with all the things that I've got going on? It's your glory shout right there that's going to alter everything that's going on. Do you understand that God said, I allowed the enemy to come in like a flood because I wanted to hear your praise. I allowed the enemy to come on the left and the right so I can begin to hear a praise that only pressure can bring. Is there anybody right now that's under divine pressure and that God is saying, now give me a praise that only divine pressure can bring? Is there anybody under financial pressure? Is there anybody under physical pressure? Is there anybody under family pressure? That God said the pressure is not going to break you, but it's going to release a praise in you. It's going to release a shout in you. There's glory in you that only this squeezing can bring forth. So I'm surrounded. I'm going to respond to what's happening.
Yes.
I know what they said. I'm going to respond to what's happening. I know what it looks like. I'm going to respond to what's happening. I know what the enemy's trying to do. I'm going to respond to what's happening. I'm going to go ahead and shout glory. I'm going to go ahead and shout glory. I'm going to go ahead and shout glory. I know how much I have. I know how much I owe, but I'm going to go ahead and shout glory anyhow. I know exactly how I feel. I know what's hurting in my body, but I'm going to respond right now. Not to my problem, but I'm going to respond to God. Not to my issue, but I'm going to respond to his son. His son has said, this now is the acceptable time to bless me. So I'm going to respond to you by shouting glory, by saying hallelujah, by dancing before you. You know what's going on, and yet you're commanding me to praise. You know my issue, but you're saying respond to me. Respond to me. You're crying, but go ahead and praise me anyhow. You're breaking in every place, but go ahead and praise me right now. You're hurting all over the place, but go ahead and praise me right now. That if you can praise right now in the midst of the pain, then the enemy's got to respond by letting go. Got your hands on my children. God said, go ahead and shout right there. Got your hands on my finances. God said, go ahead and shout right there. Got your hand on my body. Go ahead and shout right there. Trying to mess with my family. Go ahead and shout right there. You trying to mess with my mind. Go ahead and shout right there. You thought you could break my heart. Go ahead and shout right there. Because if I begin to respond to God, they're hurting me. God says, shout right there.
Yeah.
They're persecuting me. God says, shout right there. They're talking behind my back. They're supposed to be my friend. God said, go, don't respond to them. Respond to me. The glory clouds in front of you. Go ahead and worship me. Don't respond to your money. Respond to your God. Go ahead and shout right there. Don't worry about your popularity. Don't worry about how you feel. Respond to me. I have declared that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Respond to him. Respond to him. Respond to him. There is a praise in this place. Respond to him. There is a shouting in this place. There's a changing that's in your mouth. Respond to him. My family, I haven't let go. I still believe in my son, I haven't let go. I still believe my daughter, I haven't let go. I believe my auntie's coming out, I have not let go. I believe my family is blessed, I haven't let go. I believe my finances are turning around, I have not let go. My seed is blessed, I have not let go. So God, I came to let everybody know I'm at the end of my rope, but I still have a shout. Is there anybody here right now that knows that God has said, you still have a shout in you? There's still a praise in you. Don't give up where you are. Don't stop. It's not over. I have not declared it over, so it's not over. I would never tell you to praise if it was over. I would never tell you to worship if it was over. I'm calling you right now to stir yourself and to rise and shine. For your light has come. Somebody give God some praise in here.
My God.
We believe you, God. We believe you, God. There is a word from the Lord. I'm just so excited about what God is doing in this atmosphere, what God wants to do in this place, what God wants to do in his people, not just in this house, but all over the kingdom. Amen. God is moving. I want to read to you today out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 27, and I'm going to end at verse number 29. Go ahead and get it out. Go ahead and get it out. Listen, I know in the spirit, somebody said, listen, he moved into this too fast. And I still want to just seek glory.
Yes, I don't want to interrupt
because he's moving into another phase of the service. But I wasn't quite finished glorifying him like that. Listen, I know that there's a word in the house, and I know you came, God, that the word would set us free, but I wasn't quite ready to release and then leave that place of comfort where I was with you. So, Lord, if I can just have just one more moment. Victory in the atmosphere. I'm telling you right now. I feel warfare in the atmosphere. I feel the shields coming up again. I feel the swords beginning to rattle again. I feel the helmets of salvation beginning to be placed upon the brain again. Let this mind be in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That was also in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, let me think like him.
Hallelujah.
Let me believe like him. Let me walk like him. Let me talk like him. Let me operate like him. Let this mind be in you. Let me do a mind transplant. Let me do a mind transplant right now in this atmosphere right now. Let me take out that fearful mind and release a spirit of boldness that's going to allow you to be what you've been called to be. We bless you, God. We thank you right now for breakthroughs. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Yes. I'm going to read today out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. I'm just going to read two verses. I'm going to read chapter 1, start at verse number 27. And I'm going to end at verse number 29. Once again, that's the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. I'm going to start at verse number 27 and end at verse number 29. And when you're there, when you're in the Word, if you'll just let me know by saying, I'm in the Word.
I'm in the Word.
I'm in the Word. Amen. Once again, that's the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And I'll start at verse number 27 and I'll end at verse number 29. I'm not going to keep you here too long, but we want to hear what the Lord has to say. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it reads, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your reputation, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation. And that from God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. That's verse 29. Let me just read verse 29 one more time because I want you to get that.
Yes.
For it has been granted to you, hallelujah, on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's take a look at this word. So now in looking at the word and looking at what Jesus is actually dealing with and talking to us about here, we find out that Jesus is actually saying he's imprisoned at this stage. And even at this stage of imprisonment, he's writing a letter to the Philippian church. He's encouraging them. And Paul says that he's in between two places. He says, I know that my deliverance through prayer is going to come to pass. He believes that his supply is through Jesus Christ. And he said it's his earnest expectation that that's going to happen. Matter of fact, he says, I'm magnified now in my body, but he says that there's a conundrum that he has, that there's an issue that, hold on just one second, there's an issue that he has. He's saying that I know there's a problem that I'm dealing with within myself. He's revealing now his mind in the midst of the suffering. Paul says, you know, to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Yeah. Paul says, listen, I'm caught between two places, not two opinions, but I'm hard pressed between two, where it says I have this desire to depart. There's this desire in me to actually leave this body and to leave the suffering behind and to be with Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Yes. And so he realizes that in his discussion with himself, that in his talking to himself, Paul says, there is nothing in any way that I'm worried about concerning the trial. I believe that God has the divine ability and willingness even to deliver me. But if I'm not delivered from this current circumstance, that means that I would die. And he says, for me, death is gain. Life with Christ, he said, that's what it's all about for me. The reality is, it's not about money. He doesn't call them and say, pray that I get released from here. He doesn't say, start a prayer chain so that maybe you can send me an offering.
Right.
No, he says, the reality is that there's something that I want from you more than anything. He says, I know that God's going to deliver me because it's needful for me to be here. That my deliverance is not just a standard deliverance because I'm so good. He says that there's yet work for me to do. That for me to live here and to be here is going to be more expedient, more, there's more wisdom in it, so I know that God's going to bring me there. But Paul comes back and he says, but only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I'm absent or whether I come to you or not, he said, that I may hear your reputation, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith in the gospel. Now Paul comes and he says, no matter what's going on, no matter what you heard, here is the principal thing. I want your conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul now begins to talk about their walk. Uh-huh. They realize that salvation is when you are on the wrong street, salvation is turning down the right street. But now Paul says the next level of turning down the right street is walking down the right street to get to the direction and to the purpose and the goal in which you turned down that street in the very first place. Paul now says, I want your conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now the reality is that Paul doesn't say, I need you to be sinless.
Yes.
Come on.
He doesn't say, I'm looking for your perfection. But Paul now says, as believers who understand the power of salvation, then everything you do in your life ought to be a reflection of your gratitude for the salvation. The reality is that Paul is saying, walk worthy to people who are not worthy, who are not worthy now, who will not be worthy even then. It's given by grace. But Paul says, your conduct is everything. And listen, the reality is that Paul is saying, it's not how you walk for them. It's how you walk for you. The reality is that what you don't realize is that your walk proves something to you. When Paul says, listen, whether I come or whether or not, I want to hear about your reputation. I want to make sure that people are speaking well about you. But the reality is that Paul was not as focused on what people thought. But Paul said that you stand firm in one spirit, that you handle the persecution that's going to come your way when you're unified. That the reality is that Paul knew that there was persecution on every hand. Paul was aware that persecution was not only there, but there was greater persecution coming. And the reality is that Paul said, I'm not talking about whether one individual is strong, but I want you to fight side by side. He said, striving together with one spirit for the faith of the gospel. That's what he says that I want you're fighting for. You're unified for the purpose of the gospel so that people will hear and know the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then Paul comes and he says, and I don't want you terrified in any way by your adversaries, which is to them proof of perdition. Now, I want you to understand that Judas and the Antichrist were the two people that God had talked about who called them sons of perdition. Perdition means destruction. Perdition means waste. So I want you to get this, and this is important. Paul says, I don't want you to operate in fear.
Yes.
I don't want you to be terrified by your enemies. So the first thing we recognize is that we have adversaries. Paul knew that adversaries were there. So Paul now comes and says, courage is a part of walking correctly and worthy of this gospel. You've got to operate in courage. The reality is that courage does not mean that you don't have any trepidation. It means that you put obedience to God above your own feelings and emotions. And Paul said, I don't want you operating in terror. Terror, you know what? Have you ever seen a stampede? And listen, if you got about 1,000 wildebeest, 1,000 wild animals, 1,000 buffalo, and 5 of them see a lion, those 5 will start running. And when those 5 start running, the other animals start running, but they don't even understand why they're running. They're only running because somebody else was running. So the 5 who saw the lion may have some reason to run, but the other 995 have absolutely no reason to be terrified at all. Paul is now coming and saying there's a mindset of the believer. If you want to be a believer, I mean, if you're going to call yourself in the army of the Lord, terror is not a part of that. You got to know that enemy is going to be on every hand. That you got to know that literally persecution is a part of this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God said, I'll deliver you out of them all. So when you got me on your side, how in the world can Jesus and fear operate in the same body? He said, I don't want you to be terrified by your adversaries. He said, when you're not terrified by them, it's proof of their destruction.
Come on.
Somebody better grab hold of that. Listen, I don't know if you need some music in here, but I need you to understand that here's what God said. He said, listen, when your enemy comes in and tries to terrify you, tries to bring you down, tries to break you, the thing that I want you to do is be able to stand still so you can see the salvation of the Lord. The problem with the stampede is that you'll miss the hand of God. You get delivered, but you don't even know how the deliverance came. You see God come in, and the only thing you know is you're alive, but you don't even know how he did it. He says, listen, when you are not terrified by your adversaries, it's proof of their destruction.
Come on.
I need you to grab hold of this. I need you to get this when you understand that God is trying to say the only thing that the enemy has to war against you is fear and intimidation.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So the reality is you're already delivered. Uh-huh. I'm already going to bring you out. But the only thing that the enemy has is that he's going to try to make you fearful that I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. He's going to try to make you terrified that maybe the battle is on you. But when you understand what God has said, that the battle is not even yours, but the victory is, then your enemy, it will be proof not only to your enemy that whatever plan they have for you simply will not work. Is there anybody that knows right now your ability to stand is letting the enemy know, I know you have limits to your power, and I recognize that persecution is a tool that God is using to expose power to me that's in me. Do you understand? Before anybody can be convinced that you are powerful, the first person that needs to be convinced is you. Before you can convince anybody that they can be delivered, you got to be convinced that God can do it for you. In the prison place right here, Paul is writing a letter and saying, don't you understand? I am fully persuaded if they kill me, they only usher me into the presence of God. But if I stay here, I'm going to make the devil mad every day I'm alive. So the reality is, he thought he was in control, but he found out that I know how to praise him in bad weather. I know how to praise him in a prison place. If I get out of here, I'm going to go ahead and shout glory. But while I'm in here, I'm going to start stirring up some stuff in the prison place. Do you understand that Paul was preaching the gospel and worshiping God on the streets of Damascus? But when he got locked up, do you understand that he didn't stop praising? He said, well, listen, this is a good time to praise him right here. This looks like it's a good enough praise right now to begin to praise him. Is there anybody right now that knows that the enemy is trying to lock you down? Yeah. The enemy's trying to mess you up. And do you understand that God is saying, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do demolition from the inside out. See, when you start doing demolition from the inside out, when you do it from the outside in, you need something else to help you break down. But when you do it from the inside out, that was Paul saying, my prayer. praise will cause the walls to begin to shake. My worship in the midst of a bad situation. Listen. Sometimes you got to be in the right situation, in the most difficult situation, for praise to begin to get activated, to become destructive. There's a place where praise can be enthusiastic. There's a place where praise can be worshipful. But there's a place where praise is also destructive. And you got to be between the right rock and the right heart place in order for God to say, praise me. And see, sometimes when God is saying praise right there, he's talking about a demolition praise. The enemy is trying to encircle you. But I'm going to cause you to break down everything he's trying to do by simply beginning to praise right there. He's sure that would break you in half. But when you begin to praise him right there, he can't handle. He can't handle. That means that even the very things that were built to hold you in, they begin to break up in half. There's a praise that you have in the midst of trouble. That's not like a praise when things are great. There's a praise you have when you're crying and yet you're still believing God. Paul said, when I come back, whether I see you or not, I want you worshiping him and praising him. I need you walking worthy. Worthy is subjecting everything to God and subjecting God to nothing. Am I talking to anybody here right now? God said, don't put me below your problem. Put your problem below me. Begin to subject your issue to me. See, listen, you can't praise him. Listen, when the only time you can give God some praise is when that thing gets better, you are not in the right place and you're not walking worthy of the gospel. But whether that thing gets better or not, I came in here to give God some praise. When you come into the house and you decided, God, my praise is not predicated on whether you do that or not. My praise is simply based on your isness. The fact that you are. That's why I came in here to praise you. I don't know what you're going to do with my financial situation. I don't know how you're going to pay my bill. But the fact that you are still beautiful and still holy. That's why I shout. That's why I dance. I don't know what you're going to do. But your right arm is still strong. And your left arm is still guiding me. And your mouth is still there. You're still speaking life. You're still a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So whether I get the job or not, I came in here to shout glory. Is there any man here right now?
My God.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Yes.
And I don't know if you understand this or not, but there was a glory cloud that in the days of Moses. The people wanted to hear and to see the glory of the Lord. And the glory cloud, normally you had to penetrate. You had to go into the cloud. But the people began to worship to such an extent that the cloud began to come down. The people began to worship and their voices began to cause such a melody in the heavens that the cloud began to descend. Do you understand that right now in this place that God has a glory cloud that's above his people, that if the sound is right and if the attitude is right and if the mindset is right, will begin to descend upon his people. The Bible said that in that glory cloud that there was witty invention, that in that glory cloud there was power. Do you understand the power that God was talking about? There was the power to win wars when you're outnumbered. That you know what that power to talk about? That power to buy without price. I'm talking with these diseases that were there that were impossible. That when the glory cloud began to descend, God said impossibility is being chased away and all things are possible. Is there anybody here right now that know that there's a glory cloud that's above us right now that we have the power to cause down? Do you understand that? Just like Elijah called down fire from heaven, that God said, call the cloud down. Everything that you need is inside the cloud. Do I have any praises in here right now? Where my praises at? Give them some music to begin to praise. Maybe they need some glory cloud music. Maybe they need the sound of a cloud descending. Maybe they need the sound of the Lord coming. The Bible said that David said that I heard it like the going in the mulberry bush. I heard the sound of the army coming. Is there anybody here that knows it right now? Whatever you need.
Whatever.
Listen.
You
God, I'm going to wait on you. And you don't even understand what this praise is about. not say what this worship is about, but I need somebody to grab hold of this right now. Before you got up this morning, there was a conversation you didn't even know about. Before you even opened your eyes, there was a conversation you had nothing, you knew nothing about. I'm going to bring her in here. I can't stop you. But I bet I can stop her praise. I bet you can.
Ah, come on.
I bet you she's going to think that if you don't do that, you're not good enough. I bet you won't. I bet you she's going to need some music to get her up. I bet I won't. I bet you have to pay that bill for the preacher. I bet I won't. You have to heal her that headache before she's a preacher. I bet I won't. Come on down, amen. Come on down. Watch my people. You don't even understand how my people roll. You don't understand the relationship we have together. Though he slay me.
Yeah.
I know it's you. I know you're going to stop it. I know you're going to stop the cancer. I know you're going to stop the disease. I know you're going to stop the addiction. I know you're going to stop the theft. I know you're going to stop the robbery. I know you're going to stop the violence against me. You're going to stop the assault, though he slay me.
Yeah.
While my children, while my family, why'd he give me up? Why'd he abuse me? What you going to say? Though he slay me.
Yes. Yes.
How come they have the house and I don't? How come they're debt free and I'm not?
Yes.
I'm worried all night long. What you gonna say though?
Yes.
Though he slay me.
Yes.
Yet.
Yes.
Will I trust him?
Hallelujah.
And you start saying that enough times.
Yes.
That starts off like words.
Yes.
Begins to move into like a song. Then becomes like a mantra, and then become like a word to your spirit.
Yes.
And then becomes a word to live by.
Yes.
And then becomes your praise.
Come on.
And the thing that I started doing when I was crying, now I'm dancing and shouting. Yes, though he slay me. Yet when I try, started whispering, though he slay me. Yet when I trust him, though he slay me. Yet when I trust him, though he slay me. Yet when I trust him, I start getting bold in this place. God said, now you're on. That's what I was waiting for. Let the enemy know the bill don't have to get paid for me to worship him. You don't have to bring my friends back for me to worship you.
Yes.
You don't have to make them like me for me to worship you. I never have to be popular again for me to worship you. God, I thank you for the healing, but do you know I was going to praise you anyhow? Thank you for that deliverance, but I had a dance on reserve just in case you didn't. So listen, let me tell you something. There are people right now that's got a curse, got a complaint in case he doesn't. But listen, every now and then God's got some people that are saying, listen, I believe he will. But even if he doesn't,
come on.
I prepared a strut just for Jesus, just in case he doesn't.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because I need to prove to myself that this thing is real. I couldn't have praised like this last year, but look at me now. I couldn't have worshiped like I did now, but after going through that, but is there anybody here right now that's got it? I can go through it now and praise him anyhow. Praise right now. Listen, I remember 5 years ago that thing would have broke me in half, but I got to praise in that place right now. Last year, I was sobbing uncontrollably. This year, I'm praising uncontrollably. Last year, I was up under the bed, but this year, I'm on top of the mountain. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Huh.
Grace is amazing. Grace is amazing. Grace is amazing. I'm trying to prove something to you. Well, listen, this is not about what God wants to do and let the world see it. There's something God said. I'm trying to prove something to you.
Yes, yes.
This is personal. They said you're weak. Before you manifest to the world, you're not weak. I need you in the bathroom looking in the mirror saying, you know what? Let the weak say I'm strong.
Yes.
You talking to me?
Yes.
I'm going to declare it. You know what? I don't need mama to declare it anymore. I don't need daddy to declare it. My boyfriend ain't got to tell me. My husband ain't got to say it. My wife ain't got to say it. Let me say it. I am strong in him. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You better begin to declare it right now. That's where your deliverance comes from. Well, God said, I've got them all waiting. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, and they were waiting for your coming out party. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that knew you were going to die where you were, that knew that you were going to get tangled up where you were, and now that you're free, what you got to say? Who am I talking to in here? Who am I talking to in here? This is just a shot of freedom in this place right now. I'm not terrified anymore. I'm not afraid anymore. I have come out and I've declared it. This may not be the season you thought, but I'm kicking down the door and I'm coming out. Is there anybody in here that's ready to declare, this is my season. This is my moment. This is my time. It's been proven to me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what God said? He said, listen, I want you to be terrified by your enemies, because it's been granted to you. He said, it's been granted to you not only to believe in me,
yes,
but to suffer for me.
Yes. That's it right there.
You know, the same way we bless him and say, you gave me that house. You gave me that car. Listen, there's a mind shift that has to begin to happen. When you understand that God said, listen, I gave you that pain too.
That's right. Come on, sir.
This is Christmas season. A lot of people won't get a lot of packages this year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes some of the ugliest packages you'll ever get,
the most beautiful,
have some of the nicest, yes, things inside.
Yes, that's right.
Sometimes pain is an ugly package.
Yes.
But if you just open the envelope, you know, grandma gave you that little thing that's all crushed up. And she said, don't throw it away. Look inside, there's something in there for you.
Mm-hmm.
God has put pain in an ugly envelope.
My God.
He's put suffering in an ugly box.
Come on, sir.
But he said, listen, don't throw this away.
Yeah. Mm.
This is going to be your testimony.
My God.
Don't throw this away. When you beat your chest, it's going to be because you came, overcame that thing right there. Don't get up here. When you start telling them, girl, you can get through it, it's because you got through it. When you're telling them you can make it, it's because you had to make it. When you tell them you can live and not die, it's because you came this close to dying, but yet you're still here. So God said, open up the envelope and praise me. There's a pain in this thing for me. There's a Goliath in my life. But at the end of the day, I cannot be King David without my Goliath. So the Lord has said, listen, if you want to reign with me, you got to suffer with me. Matter of fact, it's been granted. I can trust you. Somebody's going to get delivered today. I was so mad at you. I wondered where you were. Why you delivered me? God said, I gave that to you.
Yes.
Do you know, like a husbandman, a farmer, has to go through and look at each plant. And he's got to determine which one can handle the knife?
Yes.
Come on.
I'm pruning you, but which one can? Because this one will complain all day. This one will turn their back on me. Who can I trust with the knife? After everybody, I can trust with the fruit, but who can I trust with the pain?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Who can I trust to be talked about? Listen, everybody ain't gonna experience it.
Yes.
Because God can't trust everybody with it. You just go over here and praise with them, but you'll never understand the depth of me like they did.
My God.
Job is in his suffering, and you know, the Lord comes and he says, Job, I'm coming down to talk to your friends because they haven't spoken of me like you. They don't know me like you know me.
Yes, yes.
How can I know you? You scratched and clawed at yourself and still prayed to me. You saw the death of your loved ones,
uh-huh,
that you knew I could have protected.
Yep.
And you still worshiped me. You didn't want to, but you did.
Yes.
There's some people in here right now.
My God.
You don't even realize that God is saying, heaven is cheering, because you didn't want to be here, but you came.
Uh-huh.
And you said I wasn't going to praise him. what you did. And I'm worshiping today. But you are. And I didn't come to serve. I need something. But you are. And I'm not going to dance. But you are. And I wasn't going to sing along. But you did. And that's the place where God is saying, haven't I proven who you are?
Come on. Yes. Yes.
You thought
yes.
The problem was proving who he was? God said, I came here to prove who you are.
Yes.
In me.
Yes.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Now let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, let's leave here with some praise today. Yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let some people begin to praise him that don't need an altar call today. I don't need anybody to put the oil on my head today. The oil of gladness is all over me. There is yet a balm in Gilead. I don't need a prophet to put their hands on me. I've already heard the word of God. And now I can praise him in liberty and freedom. God, trust me with this pain and cause me to dance in the midst of it. If they leave me, they leave me. But I got to praise you anyhow. Trust me with the night. Prune me so I can bring forth much fruit. Listen, some of y'all are going to go through 2020, and 2020 is going to be like a hell you've never experienced. Give God some praise in here. Give God some, listen, and you don't even understand why you're praising, but listen, somebody's going to go through right now, and your book is going to come out of what you're about to go through. Your family's going to turn around after you come out of this. So don't be terrified. God said, I'm going to prove to you that you can stand all by yourself. I'm going to remove some people that you used to hang on to. I'm going to prove to you that you're a warrior all by yourself. I'm going to remove some crutches that you used to have in your life. I'm going to prove to you that you can handle not being liked, because I'm about to make you the most unpopular person in your atmosphere. I'm going to prove to you you can handle rebuke, because it's going to seem like you can't do anything right. But when you get through this, after you submitted to me when you didn't want to, after you took the rebuke and kept your mouth closed, after you handled the weight that I placed on you, and you begin to now start lifting it, and you start seeing yourself get stronger and stronger, and you start realizing, I work out with haters. I work out with people that try to come against me. I work out, I get stronger when people try to persecute me. Then that's when God will say, now you see the perfect work.
Yes.
So who can I trust with the knife? Not the enemy cut.
That's right.
Me. Because when I cut you, you bring forth fruit.
Yes.
And fruit that remains.
Yes.
I remove friends that can't go where you're going.
Can't go.
I remove false opportunities that were never opportunities in the first place.
Yes.
And when I take it, it wasn't a blessing. You just called it a blessing.
Yes.
I don't take blessings away. She wasn't a blessing. That car wasn't a blessing. That house wasn't a blessing. But this thing that we're about to do with just those oodles and noodles, you're going to be talking about that longer than you're talking about the Mercedes. That thing that I'm about to do with you being all alone and seeing like nobody's there but just me, I'm about to do something in that's going to turn your life around. When you're ostracized on every hand and nobody seems to like you, and your only friend you know is me, I'm about to do something in your life like never before. When you move from pillar to post and you feel like you're the most unstable, that's the time that I'm going to be your rock. So now I want you to stop standing on you and stand on me. And I'm going to let them rebuke you. And I'm going to let them talk about you. And this year, the things are going to get exposed. You never wanted exposed. But if you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and just declare, there's glory coming out of this. I don't know how, but there's glory coming out of this. I wanted to stop, but there's glory coming out of this. Is there anybody here that knows that there's glory about to come out of what you're going through right now? So listen, begin to praise him right where you are. We're going to leave this place in just a moment. But listen, I want you to begin to just worship him right where you are. I want you to receive what I'm saying to you. Because I don't know exactly where or how it's going to be. me. But I know that God has said there's glory after this, which means you can't die in this thing. I have just prophesied life in the midst of the pain. I just prophesied 2021. Do you hear what I just said? God said the enemy is going to try to kill you, and it will not work, but you shall get stronger. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I'm going to test you. I'm going to try you. I'm going to prove you. I receive it. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now for your people. God, we thank you right now for these divine moments. God, we thank you even right now for the time that you have spoken unto us. That you've given us your word, God. You've told us not to be terrified by our adversaries. But then, God, that you said it's by grace you granted to us. Yes. On behalf of Jesus Christ. Not only to believe in you, but also to suffer for you. We bless you. We receive you. We receive your spirit. We receive your word. We receive the ability to endure. Lord, you said in your word that you would not allow us to be tempted above our ability. But you said that in that temptation, you would always make a way of escape so that we could endure it. You didn't say get out of it. You said endure it. You're going to make a way of escape so we can bear it. I'm not going to let you out of it. There's going to be some pain, but I'm giving you the divine ability to endure it. You're going to stand. I'm declaring right now that you're going to stand. Right now that under the sound of my voice, that those that are hearing me, you're going to stand. I'm declaring against even your desire to sit down and to give up and to give in. You're going to stand. I'm declaring right now that God is making a way of escape so you can stand.
Yes.
Not so you can come out. Not so you can give up.
Thank you.
Not so you can give in. So that at the end, he'll be glorified by you standing. Endurance power. In the name of Jesus. Endurance power. In the name of Jesus. Endurance power right now. In the name of Jesus, drench us in the ability to stand. Drench us in the ability to hold on. Drench us in the power to stand upon the rock that's higher than us. Endurance power. Endurance power. Endurance power. If they're there, I'm standing. If they leave, I'm standing. And preaching power. Anointing power. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just grab somebody and just tell them there's a power in the anointing of Jesus. Just grab somebody. Just let them know there's power in his anointing. There's power in you touching your people right now. There's power. There's going to be a transfer of power right now. There's power in the anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen.